Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, a Disney investor call gives us hope and projects are moving forward and new projects are coming up. And Dana Schwartz has confirmed that She-Hulk writing is finished and maybe WandaVision is done and things are looking up, guys.
Things are looking up. All that right of the stat we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall. All right, we're going to get into the news in just a couple minutes because we're running a little behind today, so we got to get this stuff done. But first, let's mention a few things that we need to mention. First thing, we're doing a trivia night. We're starting a thing, Stranded Panda Trivia. I'm going to be heading it up over our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. And if you go over there on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Central, we're going to be doing a trivia night. And if you sign up at the Stranded Panda Army, which some of you already have over at the strandedpanda.com, you can sign up for the Stranded Panda Army, and we're going to send out an email with some clues. We're going to probably do all about a third of the questions from one movie, and we will tell you what movie that is beforehand. So this week it's going to be Marvel trivia, so join us, me and Jeff, Wednesday night, Stranded Panda TV over on Twitch. Also this week, we have we were guests on the Imagineer podcast. This is the first episode we've done since they posted, so you guys should check it out. It was actually really cool, and I we know you guys will like it. It's a lot of good MCU cast. What was the theme again?
It was our top 10 MCU moments.
Yeah. And so all three of us, us two and the host, gave our top 10 MCU moments. So if you, you know.
This is a constant thing on this podcast. People ask for, like, what's your favorite this? Or what's your top three of that? Or, you know, what's your favorite food that you've seen the Avengers eat or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty common theme around here to be like, give us your top 10 list. So, yeah. You know, we did that.
We did it on the Imagineer podcast for our buddy Matt over there at the Imagineer podcast. So if you get a chance, go check out the Imagineer podcast. They are a podcast that covers all things Disney, and they're doing like a Marvel month this month. Marvelous May. And so if you're into Disney stuff in general, they're a good podcast to follow. They talk a lot about Disney stuff, and they have guests and stuff about Disney.
We did kind of have a little bit of an oops or a little bit of a whiff because we were like, yeah, Black Widow is going to be out by now. It's not.
We recorded this podcast like 2 months ago because he's way more organized than we are.
Extremely.
We're on the knife's edge. We're always recording for the week that we're doing it, but which is, you know, that's part of what our podcast is. But
that's our format.
That's our format. We call it a format. You may call it procrastination, whatever. So Imagineer podcast this week, it may be the most recent episode. It may be the one before that, but yeah, check it out. It's definitely, it's like 2 hours of us talking about our favorite moments in the MCU. So definitely a cool thing if you like this podcast. And thirdly, our third little piece of in-house news is over on Bingers Assemble this week, we are back to our X-Men watch with the Deadpool series. So if you liked our Bingers episodes, I know we've been doing a lot of Altered Carbon over there, and some of you are not following the Altered Carbon watch. We're back to doing, we finally got a chance to do the Deadpool episodes, which were requested. So, and freaking
one of two.
Deadpool is so good. Deadpool is just so good. So, yeah, go over to Bingers Assemble if you haven't in a while, because we haven't been covering X-Men, and check out this new Bingers episode. And
because there's all these rumors flying around that the New Mutants may be dropping online.
Yes, exactly. So we're trying to get, there's a lot of rumors about that. So we're trying to get this Deadpool thing finished. You want to throw us a 5-star review, Jeff?
Of course. We got KRob1989. This is great podcast for any Marvel fan. Matt and Jeff know what they are talking about and have fun doing it. They really care for their fans and make each episode fun to listen to by adding some personal touch.
Duh. Well, thank you so much, KRob. You're awesome. Appreciate you.
I'm glad you like our personal touch.
Yeah. I like when anyone likes when I touch them.
Whoa.
I meant metaphorically. Let's get to the news.
It's So on May 5th, there was a Disney investor call, basically just kind of going over the state of Disney. And there was a lot of confirmation that they are not actually frozen on their development. They've been, you know, they've actually been working. Apparently, according to the reports that I've been reading, WandaVision is done. They've finished filming, and
that's awesome.
That's crazy good, right?
So it's just finished filming, right? Not, they haven't finished post or whatever.
Right, right, right. They still have post to do. They still have, you know, all of the effects, because Wanda and Vision are like very VFX heavy kind
of characters. And it looks, based on just the trailer we've seen, it looks like they're doing a lot of VFX on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with the black and white stuff and all that. With
right,
dashes
right.
of color. All that stuff takes a lot of time.
So, you know, it's still going to be a while, but I mean, there's hope that there might be a 2020 release, or even an early 2021 release.
Yeah, one of the articles I read was like, it looks like they're done filming and they could be finished with WandaVision fairly soon, but will they be? Because we don't know how it interacts with other movies. Like, does it need to come out in the order that it was originally scheduled? Because originally it was Falcon Winter Soldier, then WandaVision, which they are not finished with Falcon Winter Soldier, as far as I understand. They like halted filming of that one. Yeah. So it seems like a lot of this WandaVision stuff is happening on sound stages and stuff. So maybe they were able to continue shooting in a way they weren't with Falcon Winter Soldier. I don't know. But yeah. So I said this on our MCU cast chat group. I was like, I'm always all about, let's get more and more connectivity and have these shows rely on each other more and more. But this is the one case where I'm like, I hope there's less connectivity so they can do these things out of the order they were originally planning. My biggest thought that there makes me think they're going to hold off is because we've been told how much it connects to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So
yeah,
I bet
that got pushed back.
Yeah. I bet they want that to come out closer to Multiverse of Madness. That's my,
they want it to be on people's minds.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I think so too.
Speaking of Falcon and Winter Soldier, they got the okay to resume production in the Czech Republic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so they're starting up again.
Man, guys, you don't know how bright it makes my heart feel to know they're actually working. Like, it's sad how bright it makes my heart feel.
It's sad how sad I've been.
Here's the thing I wonder. I wonder if when you're shooting one of these shows, like, you're trying to do it in a certain timely fashion, I wonder if you do those effect heavy shots early, and then the shots you hold off till the end are the more grounded shots, because then your effects team can be working. That seems to make sense. Like, maybe that's what happened, and maybe Falcon Winter Soldier won't be too held off because maybe they've continued to work on VFX while they couldn't shoot. But that's all complete speculation about what makes sense in my own brain, and I have no idea.
That's just hopeful organization from you.
Oh, yeah.
That's all that is.
It is, absolutely.
And you know what's great is during a quarantine, you can still, or, you know, when there's lockdown, you can still do things that are more cerebral, like writing.
Yeah.
Dana Schwartz posted on Twitter that the She-Hulk writing, like, for season one is done.
That's
They're
so
finished
crazy.
With writing.
That's awesome.
And she's looking for more work now. She's like, you know, if anybody's a showrunner that wants, you know, these qualities in a writer, like, hit me up. And everybody's like, wait, what? She-Hulk's done with writing? Like, what?
She's like, no. The point was, I'm available. And everyone's
yeah,
like,
She-Hulk!
She's like, I need work. And everybody's like, She-Hulk.
Oh, goodness. Yep. Hey, you know, she needs work, and apparently, according to reports, Marvel is looking for a writer for a Secret Warriors project.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which could be a Disney Plus series, it could be a movie, but apparently it is Feige that is set to produce this. So this is going to be MCU property.
Wow.
Secret
that is
Warriors.
So Secret Warriors, is that different than Secret Wars?
Yes. Yeah. Secret Warriors was the Daisy Johnson led team.
Oh, interesting. Weird. Okay. I mean, I'm down. that's weird. And I wonder if they will tie it into the, if Daisy Johnson is there, will it tie into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, there's a lot of reports that are saying that there's going to be a, like, ABC approached Feige to ask him to produce a series for them, And there's a lot of talk that it might be some sort of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff that could potentially be something like Agents of S.W.O.R.D. or something else. But
wow,
there's potential for it to be Secret Warriors.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. I do, if they're going to do that, I do want them to somehow explain what happened in the final episodes. Why did we not get a connection to Endgame? if they're going to bring those characters in the future, we got to address the blip at some point.
All right. We have to. And the last piece of like really exciting stuff as far as development, Feige is apparently developing a Ghost Rider project that doesn't involve Gabriel Luna, so it's not going to be Robbie Reyes. But Ghost Rider in the MCU, developed by Feige, like the Hulu one is canceled, so you know, we're never going to see that hit the light of day, but they are wanting to do a Ghost Rider thing.
Cool.
And we could get Johnny Blaze. Man, we could get Johnny Blaze.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm at once like, man, I'm just constantly torn between like excitement that all this stuff is happening and it's all going to be connected, and disappointment that the stuff we've been watching for the last many years is not probably going to connect. But hopefully they will be thoughtful. They can kind of disregard earlier things without overriding earlier things. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know what would be really cool?
What's that?
Is if they did a whole like Midnight Suns kind of thing of dark MCU where like Blade and, you know, Morbius the Living Vampire, Ghost Rider, all of these like super dark characters were doing heroic things in the time of the blip in that 5-year span.
Ooh.
Because it's a dark universe already.
That's good.
And it's really like really gritty and already just everybody's bummed out. And then you get these dark heroes doing their thing.
Couldn't you see
that
like,
could be good.
A Doctor Strange calling together all of like the dark characters, like the guy playing Doctor Strange, Cumberbatch wouldn't have to be on many episodes. He could be like the first episode, like setting them forward into their goal you know?
Yeah.
That would be super fun. Before we get into feedback, just so you know, we also recorded our second House of M comics episode over on our Patreon this week. So if you're squirrely and want to get up on the Patreon, we finished our House of M coverage, and we're planning to do more comics coverage in the next few months, probably after we finish our Deadpool stuff. Yeah, I know, Jeff, you're so freaking excited. I don't know why I'm being a butthole about it.
I don't either, man. You like these comics.
I do. They're not as easy to talk about as TV is, because
that's fair.
They're harder to like wrap your head around sometimes. I don't know why. It's just different. It's just different medium. And like, there's less, I think part of it is you have to use your imagination a lot more. You know what I mean? With any kind of reading, which obviously there's visuals as well, but it's like this, like how you interpret the actions or the emotions of characters. It's like, a lot of what we do when we talk about these shows is we talk about, and the way that he acted that moment, how amazing was that? And I you get that some with the comics, but it's just different. It's a different medium, and it's not one I'm as comfortable with. So we're getting into it, though. We're doing this. We're going to do more. It sounds like the Eternals might be next based on what our patrons have requested. So we'll probably do one of those a month or something like that, like for a while, and just see how that goes. See how it goes.
I'm all about it.
We'll see how it goes. All right, let's dive into our feedback and run through some of these if we can here.
Jake Pittman sent us a message that with all powers taken away, who wins in a free-for-all hand-to-hand fight? Peter Parker, Stephen Strange, Scott Lang, Carol Danvers, or Hope Van Dyne / Pym? Also, if you're reading comics, Secret Wars is a great one to dive into. It's a 12-issue limited series and has the first ever Venom symbiote Black Spider-Man suit. Love the pod. Keep up the great work. That's Secret Wars from the 80s, if I recall correctly. Not the 2015 Secret Wars. Or it might have been 2012. 20-teens was when the most recent Secret Wars happened. But yeah, that was where the symbiote suit came from, was when the team was taken to Battle World, as they called it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll put it on the list. It very well, especially with all the Spider-Man stuff being tied in Venom. Maybe we'll get some of that crossing over the movies. We're trying to stick with things that at least connect to the MCU. But I think Secret Wars is very much a possibility that it might connect eventually, especially if we do some of this multiverse stuff that's coming. So his question though, with all powers taken away, who wins in a fight? Peter Parker.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, Carol Danvers, 100%. His list was Peter Parker, Stephen Strange, Scott Lang, Carol Danvers, or Hope Van Dyne. And I say Carol Danvers 100%. She's the only one with actual combat training
in that
list. Everyone else is basically, they may have learned to fight since their powers, but they're just powered people. 100%. Carol Danvers.
Yeah. With a close runner-up being, or not even close, really, with a runner-up being Scott Lang.
He's a criminal. He's a thief. I don't know that. We don't know if he can fight, I guess.
We did. We saw him. He at least can deliver and or take a punch.
Oh, yeah. Does he just... I'm trying to remember that scene. Does he just take a punch?
He takes the punch from Peaches and then tries to deliver a punch and then redirects him or Mr. X him and then hits him in the face, I think, or the gut.
Huh.
I don't remember exactly.
It's been a while.
But yeah, he does get a good hit in on the guy. And he's like, I'm going to miss you, Scott. He's like, I'm going to miss you too, Peach. You guys get the weirdest goodbye rituals.
Yeah. But still, Carol Danvers, hands down.
Yeah.
All right. What's up next?
Jibs, that's a name right there. Jibs. Just heard your podcast, and I don't know if this could be mentioned, but maybe Henry Cavill as Hercules? He has the look and the physique, in my opinion. Kind of Herculean vibes. Let me know your thoughts.
I could see it. I could see it. And Henry Cavill's done some good things out there that I've really enjoyed him in. So, I could see it.
That's a dangerous thing, though, giving Henry Cavill facial hair. Because so many bad things have happened in the past with his facial hair.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't think of a thing that you're talking about. You know, that's the distinguished competition doesn't get mentioned here, or we get letters.
We're not allowed to talk about them. No, but yeah, him as Hercules would be great.
Have we ever talked about Mustache Gate here on the podcast?
Nope.
Probably not. Let me just say, I had forgotten about it. Like, I knew that it was a thing before the movie came out, and then I'd forgotten about it. And then the first scene of Batman v Superman came on, and I was just like, what is wrong with his lip? What is going on? This is like a bad video game. He's just talking. Why didn't they just film this? And then it like flooded back and hit me. So it was like people were like, oh, people were just looking for something to complain about. And I literally didn't remember it. And then I went to the theater and I was like, what is going on? Oh, man. So crazy. So crazy that they let that happen. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, Marshall Naylor said, hey guys, two things. One, Matt, don't worry, you don't have to do another whole rebuttal episode for your further crimes against Star Wars. This email will subside. I tried to watch the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and I liked it enough, but I couldn't get over Marina Sirtis' character. She was so bland and boring, unnerving even, just like the franchise itself. Too far?
Well, let me just say, if you watch the first episode of Next Generation, Encounter at Farpoint, yeah, the first season of Next Generation is pretty bad. I like that episode okay. That first episode, like, it kind of sets up some stuff. But, like, the first season of most Star Trek shows is pretty bad. Like, just... And I love Star Trek. I love Star Trek. But, like, there's some bad Star Trek. But there's also really good Star Trek. When you talk about Star Wars, I think it's just all in the middle.
Yep.
There's nothing really bad. Nothing. Well, there are some really bad. To me, there's not the really good stuff. To me.
Okay.
But that's where I land.
That's your interpretation of it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think that the first episode of TNG, like, to have it not have a physical confrontation between you know, the captain or the captain's lackey or whatever, and like between them and the bad guy, have it just all be discussion with Q and investigation into like what's going on at Farpoint. Like all of that was so different from what everybody had experienced with Star Trek. And if you've watched current Star Trek, like the JJ, the new universe, the JJ stuff, and then go back and watch that, you're like, what? Who's running this? Like, this is so vastly different.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's always said it's more of a cerebral show, but it is. It's like they very, very often don't fight like at all. It's just like they have a conversation and figure it out. And honestly, that even in the original series, they did that a lot. Like a lot of the episodes end with them like just having a conversation with a robot and convincing them not to destroy a planet or something. Like it's often they just use logic and conversation to solve a problem. They use their words, which I really appreciate. And I find fascinating in most cases. I've talked many times about how I think that a lot of times when you have a fight scene in a show, those fight scenes mean nothing. I would much rather a show not have a fight scene and just like have the character stuff than to have a fight scene and not have the character stuff. I like what Marvel does, which is like a mixture of those two things where you have a good fight. Well, we talked about Deadpool on Avengers, and it's just like, man, it's like constant fight sequences, constant humor, and constant character development. Like that is beautiful when you can pull that off. But obviously, when you write one movie versus a TV series, sometimes you got to make choices because you can't spend 2 years writing 2 hours of material. You know what I mean? So the, or in the case of Deadpool, like, Ryan Reynolds had been wanting to make that movie for so long. I bet there were like versions of that script from way back in the Wolverine Origins days. Which, you know, who knows?
Let's not talk about that.
Could have been the spinoff Deadpool movie could have been wonderful. But you know, yeah, whatever. Anyway, what else does Marshall have to say?
Marshall says too, there was an email last week suggesting that Thor Love and Thunder would be like Ant-Man and the Wasp as far as Jane being there, but still sort of a side character and all. But to be honest, I don't think that worked very well at all with Ant-Man and the Wasp, mostly because I don't think anything worked with Ant-Man and the Wasp. If Thor 2 and Incredible Hulk wasn't so laughingly bad, this would be much closer to the bottom. Last thing, I promise, Matt, say one good thing about Thor 2. It's hard, I know. That did not come out right. And Jeff, say one good thing about Iron Man 3. Sorry about the novel.
Okay, one good thing about Thor 2. If you come up with yours first, go ahead. It's going to take me a second. Sorry, one little jab before I say a positive. It's hard because my favorite thing about Thor 2 is the Loki stuff. Loki's death in Thor 2 is really nice. And the brothers sort of like growing together, which you get the sense in Ragnarok that Thor, that development that happens between the brothers does happen. And it's just at the end, they just pull the rug out from under you with it all being a trick, which I found unfortunate because I really liked the death of Loki in that moment. But having him come back and it does pay off when when Thor refuses to be tricked by him in Ragnarok. So I guess that's my high point for Ragnarok, at least, is the Thor and Loki relationship building. I do like that.
Yep. High point on Iron Man 3, I would say, is Sir Ben Kingsley is a legend, and he was amazing in absolutely every part that he had to play. It's my problem with Iron Man 3 is not any of the actors. It is the writing. And give Sir Ben Kingsley anything and he will make it gold.
Yeah, he's wonderful in that.
Yeah. So there's a good thing. So he doesn't like Ant-Man and the Wasp. The sound of it.
Yeah. I think that the Ant-Man movies are both just okay. Like, I don't think they're bad, but I don't think either of them are like wonderful. They don't. But I don't see why Ant-Man and the Wasp is that much worse than Ant-Man. I don't know. Please tell us more details. Tell us why you don't like it. This is the kind of conversation we have here.
We can't fix it until you tell us how the problem is affecting you.
Not necessarily fix it. Yeah. We can't diagnose and treat your problem. No, we're not trying to change your view, but you know, like, be interesting to hear why you hold that view. Cause I don't really
can't help you feel correctly unless you tell us the reason
you
why.
Keep changing my words. Oh. I'm saying we want to understand and you're saying we want to fix him.
He's broken.
You can't fix people, Jeff.
He's broken. He needs to be fixed. That's one of the things about this universe, though. Like, as the universe grows, as more movies and more products, more IPs come into the MCU, you increase the chances of there being a not great property, something that is universally hated in humans, something that is just not great. You know, there's varying levels of
and it all feels like it sullies the whole universe when you have some weird thing that's just bad. Like in humans is easy to ignore, but if it was something that was more connected, like Iron Fist, then it's hard to look at all of Defenders. Yeah. It like sullies all of Defenders when you're like, hey, you should definitely check out Defenders. It's like one of the best things ever. Just ignore this fourth of it.
Yeah, right. Just ignore this. Well, Defenders. Yeah, but if you're talking about the Defenders verse, it's a fifth of it because Punisher's also
True. That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, it's bad to have something sully it, but I mean, honestly, like, get ready. It's coming. You know, we can't live like this forever.
Right. And especially with Sony creeping in more and more Spider-Man related properties, which I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I really hope they won't be.
No, they are. They're going to be.
But I mean, clearly we had our problems with Venom already, and that's going to, it's not really been connected yet. And so that we've been able to get skirt by caring too much. But once Venom is like in an Avengers movie, it'll be like, do we like this Venom? Is he a Venom we care about?
Venom?
Yeah. So that's going to be rough. I think they probably did the right thing by closing off with Endgame, this like big portion of the universe. So yeah, I don't know.
Tied it up in a bow, set it aside. It's perfect just the way it is. Nobody touch it. It's on the shelf. Nobody touch it. Yeah. Let's make new stuff.
They'll make new things, but I want them to all be connected. And yeah. Anyway, what does Brandon Durham have to say?
He says, thought, if Strange could sling portal them to Earth in Endgame, couldn't he have done it right after they got beat by Thanos in Infinity War to help Cap and Co? Yes, I know he didn't, because there's only one way they end up winning, but it just occurred to me that he could have.
Yes. I love this question because he answers it perfectly, and there's nothing I can do to better answer this question. Because I would have sat here for 5 minutes going like, why didn't he do that? You're right, he could have. And then finally realized because that's
the writing demanded it.
I'm sure he did in one of the 14 million versions, and it probably got Stark killed or whatever, you know? Or probably got one of the characters that needed to be alive to accomplish that final only version that they end up winning, you know?
Yeah.
He's just playing his role at that point.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like, when we say it's, like, you know, only one in 14,605,000 different universes or different attempts worked, you know, we could write that to be whichever way we wanted it to be.
Sure.
Because we're the writers, right?
Yeah.
So...
But if you're asking why he's asking why the character didn't do it, and that's why.
Well, yeah, that's why. But like, if we approach it from a meta perspective, it would be much better to have the two disparate teams doing the same thing, you know, trying to fight Thanos and both failing separately. Then you get the conflict between Cap and Tony when Tony gets back to Earth. And was like, you said that we were going to do this together and you weren't there.
Yeah.
And that's why we failed.
You're right. From that meta perspective, it also works really well. And you get that wonderful character development of Tony thinking he's going to die on the way back.
Oh, and that monologue for Pepper.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it also sets up him recording himself in that dead sort, like a post-death recording for Pepper that he ends up doing for Pepper and Morgan, you know, then I Love You 3000. Like, it sets up all that stuff. I think that it's an important thing meta, in a meta perspective, for sure. But yeah, of course, when they said, I think it's also interesting, Doctor Strange is so powerful, and his ability, and what him and Wong at the end of the movie being able to bring every character to bear, like, is such a powerful thing. And what's interesting about it is that they basically had to remove that by giving Doctor Strange that knowledge that only one of these scenarios will work. They basically removed him from the equation because he's no longer trying to beat Thanos. He's trying to keep them on course to beat.
Yeah, he's
Thanos.
Trying to play a part.
Yeah, it's a really interesting writing technique, and it's great for Doctor Strange. It works really well because of his power set, but it doesn't work as well for a character like Carol Danvers, who we often wonder, like, why didn't she do this, or why didn't she, you know, because we don't know why she wouldn't do certain things. Anyway,
Nerdytastic hit us up, said Renner sings and plays piano and released an album recently. RDJ released a jazz album years ago, and ScarJo also had an album a while ago. Evans can marginally sing, and Hiddleston and Olsen were in a biopic about Hank Williams and his wife and did their own singing.
Yeah, I really want to see that Hank Williams biopic. I've heard that they're amazing in it. I followed her up with her online. She was saying that, like, I was like, well, it's more about, we were talking more about the characters and what would be funny to have, which characters to be in. And she's like, yeah, I'm just saying they could legit have a MCU musical. And I was like, yes, please. Yes, please.
Give me that.
That is up my alley.
Nothing has been more up my alley ever.
Yeah.
Nerdytastic also said, at MCU cast, I tell you what I don't want from Captain Marvel 2. For her to be raped, fall into a coma, give birth, and for Wasp to tell her to marry her rapist, like happened in some comics. A whole lot of yikes.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's bad.
I'm pretty sure that won't happen. It's a different time, and... Yeah. Hopefully media has moved on from such insane tropes.
Obviously troublesome.
Yeah, very, very troublesome. Very, very bad.
Georgia Cross says, hey guys, I've spent the last day or so being depressed about how Black Widow was supposed to be out this weekend, and it's a serious bummer. This whole quarantine thing has taken my MCU away, and I'm not happy about it. So instead, I rewatched the trailer and noticed this. 46 seconds into the trailer, there's a clip of Yelena strapped to a bed, looking like she's about to go into some kind of surgery, and when you look at it closer, there's a black outline drawn around her face. There are a ton of photos of it online, too. In the comics at some point, Yelena and Nat hash a plan for a face swap. Could this be what is happening? To be honest, it sounds kind of far-fetched and crazy, but the more I think about it, the more I'm intrigued. Nat dying in Endgame could have been Yelena. My mind is blown. I'm not sure if I believe this theory, but I wanted your guys' opinion. Thanks for the cast.
We've had some similar theories about, you know, them switching places or something like this. And I just don't see them doing it because I think that Nat's sacrifice in Endgame would be, like, greatly reduced from a character perspective. Like,
yeah, if you sub somebody else in to take the place of her... of her sacrifice, like, her sacrifice means nothing. All the emotional stakes that were in that scene mean nothing. You just tear away all the pain and reduce Hawkeye's his struggle there to mean literally nothing.
Yeah, that whole scene when they're fighting over who goes over to save each other, that would, like, really, the stakes are gone if it's not Nat, you know?
Yeah. And then when he gets back, when, you know, he has to deal with Nat having not come back with him, and he's yelling at, I think he's yelling at Cap. I don't remember exactly who he's yelling at, but when they're on the dock by the lake, he's just like, you go and talk to that guy and tell him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, all of that pain would be just completely lost, gone, if they were to do that. That is bad writing.
Yeah, I'll be upset if they take away her death. As much as I would love to have her back, I'd much rather have Yelena show up in a future movie and be the sister that they never knew she had or something like that. That'd be okay with me.
Yelena can show up and take over her role. Yeah. I'm all for that. That's great.
I would even be okay with Yelena showing up with Nat's face if she's a different character. You know what I mean? Like it would definitely, people wouldn't understand it as well, and people would still be upset at that trope being like, oh, Black Widow's back. She's just her sister, Black Widow. But like, you know, at least that would not take away her death. I just don't want her death to be undone. I mean, we've been told that it can't be.
Yeah, we've been specifically shown.
Yeah, the rules are that it can't be. Let's not undo the rules.
Yeah, like I would be okay with Yelena shows up with Nat's face on and ends up having to take it off, but she was just using that face as an in, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know that would be a good thing. I really don't.
Maybe if she shows up, like not to the Avengers to be like, hey, like, let me join the team again. Hey, guys. Or, you know, long time since I've been seeing you guys.
I'm wearing your dead friend's face. Don't you trust me? I don't think that would
work. Yeah, right? No, that would not be good. But like if she were to use Nat's face on like a spy mission for the Avengers or something, like, and they had to have this debate of like, is that okay? And it, you know, it's for the good of the mission. It's for the good of humanity. Like we have to have this, you know, she's got to wear Nat's face so that she can get through all these, whatever.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. If they all chose for her to wear Nat's face, like in those, we had those facial, shield things they could put on in, Cap 2.
Yeah, the masks to look like other people. Yeah. And, you know, the real like
Mission Impossible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like that, but not permanent. Jesus Christ, not permanent.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Gavin Fry said, so I now have some time to explain my thoughts. War of the Realms would be perfectly placed later in the MCU. After Jane Foster has quit as Thor and Odin's son has taken up the hammer once more, but all he has is a fragment of the original. It's perfect later in the MCU because there is all the Netflix characters, Venom, Blade, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, Wolverine, after being gone for a long time. Best of all, though, is Thor's doggo. I hope this all makes sense. If not, just say the word and I'll explain more. Also, Jeff, I love your steampunk Thor costume. Wish I could talk more right now. Gotta go do laundry. Until next time, true believers.
Yeah, that all sounds great. I don't. We talked a little bit about War of Realms last week. That all sounds fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of characters that we have not had an intro to in the MCU yet. So, yeah. Like, I want to see War of the Realms. It looks cool, but you know, we got to earn it. You know, yeah. We can't just throw shit in.
Agreed. That's the thing. You gotta earn it. They've done a great job earning these things in the past, and I want them to continue working that way.
Yep.
All right.
Looks like last up, Marshall Naylor sent us a picture. Oh, the doggos.
The doggos. He sent us pictures of doggos.
You sound a lot like Forrest Gump on that.
Oh, it's my dog voice.
He sent me a picture of doggos.
I sure did like them. Chocolates.
So he says, I'm continuing the flow of cute dog pictures. I had a picture, the one on the left with an eye patch on as Nick Furry.
That's great.
I can already hear Jeff groaning, but I couldn't find it. I like it.
That's great. Doggo said life is like a box of chocolate. It'll kill you.
Oh man. Yep.
All right. That tracks. We're done. I think we're done for today. We'll be back with more soon next week. And by the way, just I think we mentioned it up at the top of this episode. We recorded three episodes at once here, so I'm a little blurry on what we mentioned or what we haven't. I think we did. But big thing we're starting this week is our Stranded Panda trivia. It's going to be like Stranded Panda geek trivia. We're still sort of working out the kinks, but we're going to be working out the kinks for a few weeks probably. Yeah. But
so don't kink shame.
Don't. Thank you, Jeff. That was good. That was real good. Thank you, Jeff. Good one.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So if you are fan of doing trivia, like kind of pub trivia style, we might do some music, we might mix in some other stuff like conversations about Marvel. This week we're going to do a Marvel centric one, and we're going to do, so it's going to be we're gonna pick a movie, and we're gonna email it to our Stranded Panda Army, which you can join at strandedpanda.com, and then we're gonna let them know what movie. We're a third of the questions will be all from one movie, and so you know, if you'll get a chance to like watch that movie or whatever.
We promise it's not gonna be Thor: The Dark World.
we promise not this week.
Next week.
Jeff's really set on us doing Thor: The Dark World at some point.
I'm kind of a sadist. Again, don't kink shame.
So, go join the Stranded Panda Army. It's strandedpanda.com. Hit the join button and then fill it out, and it will just send you emails. And then every week we're going to send an email that'll say what movie we're going to be focused on for that week's Stranded Panda trivia. So, yeah. We just thought this would be a fun thing. So we're going to be writing some trivia questions, asking them, and to answer, all you need is Twitch. You just need to pull up Twitch and you just comment your answers, and we're going to take the first few comments and give them points. And then whoever wins will get a t-shirt or something. And if it's successful, we might even be able to do bigger prizes as we keep going. So yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back soon. We're the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, mcucast.com, strandedpanda.com, all those things. You can find our links to all those things, all of our socials over there. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.